welcome to another episode of the Mark and Aceto podcast. My name is Mark and Aceto, and today we're going to do another episode of History and Music, August of 1966. So what I mentioned last time, I was thinking of why of 1966, I mentioned that the information I gathered up from this 3-month period, July, August, and September, I have a lot of information I gathered up. This one being the longest. So what I'm going to do today is do August of 1966, and then do another episode alone of album by the Beatles released August of 1966, and that's just that album by itself. I'm going to try that this time, because it's going to be so long, and I don't want it to be that long. So let's do it that way. If it works, I can't see why it won't work for him. Anyway, let's get started. Joey, August of 1966. As usual, let me set my sources that I'm going to use for this episode. I use Wikipedia. I went on the Whiskey and Go-Go website and used the Whiskey and Go-Go calendar. There's an article in there I read off of, so I'm going to read off of, so I'm going to do that. And if you're wondering what a Whiskey and Go-Go is, Whiskey and Go-Go was a popular club in Los Angeles where a lot of bands back in the day played. And it's still open to this day, actually. They play music there still, but then nothing, of course, compared to the 60s. So I used that. I used the book 1966, The Year the Decade Exploded by John Savage, published in 2015. I used the book Psychedelia, 101 Iconic Underground Rock Albums, 1966 and 1970 by Richard Morton Jack, published in 2017. And that's it, I believe, yes, for this episode. So let's get started. August of 1966. Michigan garage rock band ? And the Mysterians released the 45, the organ-driven 96 Tears. Chicago garage rock band the Del Vets released the 45, Last Time Around, which features a psychedelic first tone guitar. Chicago garage rock band Shadows of Night released the 45, Ballad of Woman, back with Gospel Zone. Los Angeles-based band Buffalo Springfield released their debut 45, Nowadays Clancy Can't Even Sing. It was written by band member Neil Young. On that note, Neil Young had a bit of stage fright, which during his days with Buffalo Springfield, and he acquired him as suffered from seizures. LSD guru Timothy Leary releases a spoken word album. The album features the passage from Leary's book on LSD, The Psychedelic Experience. The Spike Divers released the 45 psychedelic B-side, Often I Wonder. New York bass band The Denims released the 45 White Ship. The theme and sound can be considered a psychedelic. The Sparrow, a band that featured members of Steppenwolf, released a psychedelic 45 Tomorrow Ship, back with Isn't It Strange. The Doors record the epic The End in Los Angeles as Jim Morrison is tripping on LSD. Chicago-based blues band the Paul Butterfield Blues Band releases their second album titled East West. The album ranges more outside of their blues sound and improvises into psychedelia. The title track was an idea that guitarist Mike Bloomfield had after an all-night LSD trip in 1965. And yes, it's the same Mike Bloomfield that played with Bob Dylan in 1965. According to an interview with writer Dave Marsh had with Butterfield Blues Band's keyboardist Mark Nafflin, Nafflin stated that Bloomfield had a revelation into the workings of Indian music. Marsh talks about the CD liner notes that the song East West was an exploration of music that moved modally rather than through chord changes. Nafflin explains the song was based on like Indian music on a drone. In Western music terms, it stayed on the one. The song was tethered to a four-beat bass pattern and structured as a series of sections, each with a different mood, mode, and color, always underscored by the band's drummer, who contributed not only to the rhythmic feel but much more in the way of tonal shading, using mallets as well as sticks on the various drums and the different regions of the cymbals. In addition to playing beautiful solos, Paul Butterfield played important unifying things on harmonica in the background, chords, melodies, counterpoints, counter-rhythms. This was a group improvisation in its fullest form and lasted over an hour. Marsh's summary also states that East West can be heard as part of what sparked the West Coast rock revolution, in which such structures were extended with extended improvising passages became commonplace. Marsh then credits the Butterfield Blues Band one of the greatest rock bands of the era. Marsh concludes with East West above any other extended piece of the mid-60s, a rock band finally achieved a version of musical freedom that free jazz had found a few years earlier. Aside from the track East West, the album also features a 7-minute, 53-second work song written by jazz trumpeter Nat Adderley. The Butterfield Blues Band's version is perhaps more improvisational, with fuzz tone guitars and feedback. August 1st, Wilson Pickett, R&B singer, releases his third album, The Exciting Wilson Pickett. Highlights include The Land of 1,000 Dances, 6-3-4-5-7-8-9, In the Midnight Hour, and 9-9-1/2 Won't Do. And if you're wondering, the sequel to the Blues Brothers movie, The Blues Brothers 2000, they had a version on there of 6-3-4-5-7-8-9, which is actually a pretty good version of it, so if you want to check it out. August 4th, R&B group The Temptations released the 45 Beauty Is Only Skin Deep. August 5th, Fire and Ice Limited released the album Happening. Cashbox magazine describes the band's music as simply psychedelic. August 8th, Boston garage rock band The Remains released a 45, Don't Look Back. August 15th, San Francisco's Jefferson Airplane releases their debut album titled Jefferson Airplane Takes Off. Highlights include Blues from an Airplane, Bringing Me Down, and It's No Secret. August 17th, Malachi records the Holy Music album, which was released until September of 1967. August 18th, Bob Dylan releases the 45 Just Like a Woman. August 18th, R&B group The Four Tops released the 45 Reach Out, I'll Be There. August 19th, born David Robert Jones on January 8th, 1947, in Brixton, London, England. He began his musical career in 1962 at the age of 15. In 1966, he was known as his stage name, Davy Jones. It was at this time he became dissatisfied with his stage name and wanted to change it. A name change worked out for him because the popularity of another Davy Jones in the Monkees. He became known as David Bowie. On this date, he releases his 45, I Dig Everything. August 21st, The Doors play their last performance at the Los Angeles Bass Club, The Whiskey A Go Go. From the calendar page of The Whiskey A Go Go, an article titled The Whiskey A Go Go Part 2, The Doors 1966. They began as a house band at the popular Hollywood Club on May 23rd, 1966. They would play two sets per night. The Doors began to experiment LSD daringly, and they went through freaked out adventures and wild nights. One night, Morrison was completely stoned and he fell off the stage, which occurred more than once, actually. The Doors opened for such acts, including Captain Beefheart and his Magic Band, Buffalo Springfield, Love, Northern Ireland's Them, The Turtles, and Johnny Rivers. On the night of August 21st, 1966, Jim Morrison missed the first set. Band members went looking for him and found him in room 203 of the Tropicana Hotel. Jim dropped LSD and is wearing only but underwear and boots. The remaining doors got him dressed and took him to the Whiskey for the second set. The last song they performed during the second set was the controversial epic, The End. After the performance of The End, they were fired by the club owner due to the controversy of the song. According to Wikipedia, in the song's article, actually, in an interview in 1969, Morrison explained about the lyrics. Every time I hear that song, it means something else to me. I really don't know what I was trying to say. It just started out as a simple goodbye song, probably just as to a girl, but I could see how it could be goodbye to a kind of childhood. I really don't know. I think it's sufficiently complex and universal in its imagery, and that could be almost anything you want it to be. When interviewed by Lizzie James, he pointed out the meaning of the verse, "My only friend, the end." Sometimes the pain is too much to examine or even tolerate. That doesn't make it evil, though, or necessarily dangerous, but people fear death even more than pain. It's strange that they fear death. Life hurts a lot more than death. At the point of death, the pain is over. Yeah, I guess it is, a friend. Shortly past the midpoint of the nearly 12-minute long album version, the song enters a spoken word section with the words, "The killer awoke before dawn. He put his boots on." That section of the song reaches to a dramatic climax of the lyrics. The lines, "Father, yes, son, I want to kill you. Mother, I want to," with the next words screamed out unintelligibly. Morrison had worked on a student production of Oedipus Rex at Florida State University. Ray Manzarek, the former keyboard player of the Doors, explained, "He was given voice in a rock and roll setting to the Oedipus complex. At the time, a widely discussed tendency in Freudian psychology. He wasn't saying he wanted to do that to his own mom and dad. He was reenacting a bit of Greek drama. It was theater." In John Densmore's autobiography, Riders on the Storm, he recalls with Morrison explaining the meaning. "At one point, Jim said to me during the recording session, and he was tearful, and he shouted in the studio, 'Does anybody understand me?' And I said, 'Yes, I do.' And right then and there, we got into a long discussion, and Jim just kept saying over and over, 'Kill the father, fuck the mother.'" It essentially boils down to this: kill all those things in yourself which are instilled in you and are not of yourself. They are alien concepts which are not yours. They must die. Fuck the mother is very basic, and it means get back to a sense. What is reality? What is fuck the mother's? It's very basically mother birth, real. You can touch it. It's nature. It can't lie to you. So what Jim says at the end of the Oedipus section which is essentially the same thing that the classic says: kill the alien concepts, get back reality, and the end of alien concepts, the beginning of personal concepts. According to Mojo magazine, comprehensively wrecked the singer, Morrison wound up lying on the floor mumbling the words to his Oedipal nightmare: fuck the mother, kill the father. Then suddenly, animated, he rose up and threw a TV at the control room window. Sent home by producer Paul Avery Rothschild, like a naughty school kid, he returned in the middle of the night, broken, peeled off his clothes, yanked the fire extinguisher from the wall, and drenched the studio. Alerted, Rothschild came back and persuaded the naked foam-flecked Morrison to leave once more, advising the studio owner to change the damage, charge damage, to Elektra Records. The genesis and the use of the word fuck is described by Michael Hicks as follows. During this period, Morrison brought vocal ideas into the instrumental solo section. Between the organ and guitar solos, he approached the microphone and intoned two brief lines from the middle of the song. When the music's over, Persian light, babe, see the light, babe. More strikingly, when there was retransition, motive began. He held the microphone against his mouth and screamed the word fuck repeatedly in rhythm for three measures or more. The barking sound that one hears during the passage on most live recordings. This was probably not a spontaneous vulgarism, but rather a kind of quotation from another Doors song. The end. Paul Rothschild explains in the Audiopal section of the studio recording of The End, Morrison shouted the word fuck over and over as a rhythm instrument, which is now what we intended it to be. That rhythm instrument was buried in my studio mix of The End, now forcefully superimposed on Light My Fire. It shocked many a fan who had come to hear the group's most famous song. The Pop Chronicles documentary reports that critics found the song soulful, clean, and joy clean. The End was recorded live in the studio with no overdubbing. Two takes were recorded, with reportedly the second being used for the album. It was the last song the original group performed at their last concert on December 12th, 1970, at the Warehouse in New Orleans. August 25th, the Supremes released their ninth album, titled The Supremes and Go-Go. Highlights include Love Is Like an Itching in My Heart and You Can't Hurry Love. August 25th, the Yardbirds guitarist Jeff Beck becomes ill in San Francisco, and bassist Jimmy Page takes over on lead guitar for that concert at the Carousel Ballroom. Chris Drea takes over on bass guitar. August 26th, the British band Spencer Davis Group released the 45 When I Get Home. August 26th, British band The Who released the 45 I'm a Boy. August 26th, the new vaudeville band released the 45 Winchester Cathedral. August 26th, Scottish singer Donovan releases his third album, titled Sunshine Superman. Highlights include Sunshine Superman, Ferris Wheel, which had a sitar in it, Season of the Witch, and the LSD influence, The Trip, and the track Celeste, which was named after his daughter. August 26th, British band The Spencer Davis Group released their third album, called Autumn 66. It was keyboardist lead vocalist Steve Winwood's last album with the band. August 29th, the Beatles played their last concert in public at Candlestick Park in San Francisco, California. They played to an audience of 25,000, which left 7,000 tickets unsold. August 30th, Los Angeles band The Mamas and Papas released their self-titled second album. Highlights include I Saw Her Again and Words of Love. Words of Love was lead sung by Mama Cass Elliott. And that's all I have in this episode right here. So I'm going to do it this week sometime. Hopefully is get the next episode down. And it's going to be by the Beatles album Revolver, which was released in Britain in August 5th of 1966. And I had a whole article I wanted to read from that, from RollingStone.com. And I have, of course, the book, the Beatles Anthology, which I'm going to read through too as well. So it's going to be a long episode. Maybe not as long as this because of, well, maybe a little bit longer. I'm not sure exactly how much. But kind of hope it works. It's kind of weird because I kind of like skipped that album because it was August 5th release and I had more to go in August, and I was like, okay, I skipped this one part to get the rest down, which, I mean, it makes sense, you know, because it's going to be a long episode, and then I don't want to put it all together in one because it'll make it more longer, and I don't want that to, you know, to make it no more longer than it is. So we'll go from there. We'll figure it out. Kind of. Anyway, I also want to say too, I guess, I'm also thinking about putting my podcast on YouTube. I'll probably announce it here on my next podcast whenever it's ready to go. I'll announce it. But if you want to check it out, that'd be awesome. But anyway, that's all I have for today. I hope I'll tune in again this week for the Beatles album Revolver, released on August 5th, 1966. Thank you, and have a good one. Goodbye.